This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Wait, just a minute. The Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show, does that mean that you've retired from being retired?
Pretty near, yeah. I was going crazy not doing anything. So, I mean, other than working around the house And I thought, you know, I kind of missed the show. I wonder if she'll take me back.
Well, a lot of people pretty excited to have you back.
Well,
and
I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, so we are excited to have you on. Dale Cranford actually out today. So I'm doing this like I did over a decade ago.
Yeah, you've been around doing this a long time with me.
Well, we did. Of course, originally started out with somebody else, and then later on, I did that for a while, and then Dale took it over, and here I am back in today for the very first one, which, yep, by the way, will be podcast at 541radio.com. We're still trying to get Mike to actually use the internet so we can listen back to the programs, but they are here, and Mike is got notes that is ready to take your phone calls as well at
673-4464. And any question is fair game. There's no stupid questions, especially when you're dealing with living things like landscapes and plans and ideas, all that kind of stuff. So any questions, fair game. Give us a call at 673-4464 and we can have a conversation, and I will make it as understandable as I possibly can and give you some good ideas and some good directions. So don't hesitate. Okay.
Pretty crisp and cool out there. Only 73 degrees today.
Crisp and cool. It's beautiful.
Well, it is beautiful, but it's cool.
Yeah, but you, I hear you on the radio when it's going to be 106 today, and you're practically giggling when you're talking about it.
Well, I have grown. I didn't used to, but I've grown to like the warmer weather. Working on my suntan here.
Yeah, I see that.
And out last weekend when it was in the 80s and all of that. So, but we'll take sunshine in 73 because it is mid-June.
Yes, it's great.
Though things are heating up because, as we'll talk more about tomorrow, fire season actually is going to begin on Friday.
Oh, good. Great.
So, and we already had a fire out in the Melrose area this afternoon for a little bit. So they got it taken care of. But anyway.
Grass fire or timber?
I think it was grass. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, well, the grass is awfully dry out there, and, I'm thankful we had the little bit of late rains that we had, because my creek is still running, and I'm thankful for that, and my ponds are still full, and I'm thankful for that. And, you got to be careful, period, with barbecues, cigarettes, cigars, whatever, trash fires, please be careful out there, because when it gets dry, it gets tender, and it goes fast. I know that for a fact.
So have you saved all of your notes from the past years?
Oh, yes. I've got boxes filled with them.
You're kidding.
No.
You really have the notes?
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, cardboard boxes, more than one. Well, I got one that's totally full and one maybe half full. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, when I write my book, what the heck, I got to have some, direction in which to go back and start, hey, this is what I did back in the old days here.
Old days, yes. All right. Well, what kind of insight did you want to share with us today?
Well, first of all, like I said, if you have questions, please call 673-4464. And I'll jump around and I'll relate some things here to you. And if anything strikes your fancy, go ahead and call. Even if I'm not talking about something that you are interested in, you can interrupt my train of thought and give me a call. So, for instance, if you ever wanted a Japanese garden as part of your home landscape, it's a doable thing. Japanese gardens are, extremely unique in that they require simplicity and space. They're not like our kind of our American gardens where we kind of jam everything in because, hey, we do two of those and three of these and four of those, and boy, aren't they pretty. Let's get some more. The Japanese style is requires simplicity and space so that you can actually see individual plants, how they form, how they grow, their color, their structure, you know, the whole thing. And the Japanese culture is far different to ours in America, simply because they have such small places. and when we landscape with many plants, that's a real difference of opinion and a real difference of how we view our landscapes. And of course, like I say, we have very large yards and properties in comparison to the Japanese culture. So they make the best of what little they have and make it as very unique and as simplistic, meaning it's simple to look at, it's simple to construct, and it's just easy to take care of at the same time. Their culture is, you know, so far different to ours in America when it comes to plants and that kind of thing. Because we, like I say, we landscape with many plants and hedges and trees and all that for our full look in our yards. We want 10 of these and 16 of those and 14 of those. And oftentimes we plant them way too close together and in the wrong spots. And consequently, we're taking 50% of them out, you know, in 2 or 3 years and kind of realigning things. Not everybody takes them out. Some let them stay and grow and see what they look like. But the Japanese landscape is what we would call minimal. Few plants, maybe a water feature, and many rocks from like boulders to fancy gravel, stepping stones made of natural rock, those kinds of things. And the water feature is a big deal for Japanese landscapes. And one of the major reasons, like I say, for the style of landscaping, it's a size thing. If you have a backyard that's 10 by 10 or 10 by 15 in Japan, that's about the average size. Whereas in America, we may have a yard that has 10,000 square feet, and we say, what the heck do we do with this 10,000 square feet? Well, if a lot of it's flat or most of it's flat, we can put it into lawn and then just with some decorative plantings around the outside of the lawn. And the lawn doesn't have to be square or rectangular. It can have curves. It can flow. It can have special spots. But our philosophy, I guess, as Americans, is we feel we want to have very full landscapes and fill that yard like maybe like Disneyland or something. But that's just since we have that space, lawns are a big part of our landscapes. While a Japanese yard can be very small with very few. Select plants. And when I say select plants, I mean rare bonsai, slow-growing conifer, dwarf conifers, or Japanese maples, things along those lines. They're not going to get very large even if you don't prune them. And they're going to grow very, very slow, so you can you're not fussing with them all the time or having to do, rearrange the landscape. And in the Japanese garden, a lot of rock, sand, and water are the prime features of that type of garden. And like I say, they're small and they're private and maybe in the corner of your yard. And it's like a place to escape a busy life. In other words, you're working at whatever office in whatever city or commuting 30 miles one way every day. You get home, you just want to relax. And what do? You go out in the backyard and you sit in your nice little small landscaped garden. And it's a quiet place, to shed, all the stuff that you put up with that day and just kind of zone out, if you will, and relax. Because nature has a tendency to have us do that. Nature, if we get away from all the sound, the traffic, the TV, the radios, etc., and get in that quiet place, it's amazing what you can think about. It's amazing where your mind will go. It's amazing how many problems that you can solve if you have the quiet atmosphere and the pleasant surroundings that push you in that direction. How's that? But the busy life, like I say, that we have from early morning until night is, you know, some people thrive on it. I had to do that for a lot of years when I owned Wintergreen Nursery and landscaping. And, you know, 6 days a week, 12 hours a day, and you're just going as fast as you can, and you're still behind by three or four projects. But people were very patient in waiting and saying, yeah, I'll wait for you. Don't worry about it. I understand, blah, blah, blah. And it's very unique to go from that racy business style to, wow, what do I do today? maybe I should mow my grass out there. It's getting kind of shaggy and long and long. And so, you know, it's good. But if you create a very nice quiet place for you in your yard, in the corner of your yard, or, you know, just in somewhere where it's going to be quiet, somewhere where you're not going to be interrupted, you can think, you can meditate, and you can even pray. I mean, it's a place for your solitude. It's a place that says, do not disturb. You don't even have to put up a sign. It just, they see you sitting back there on your bench or your chair or whatever, staring at your water feature, counting the water droplets out of your waterfall. They say, leave him alone. He's busy. But all of us need a little spot like that in our busy lives. And even a short 20 minutes will do wonders for our attitudes. I know I've experienced that. It's a place to hide from the world, if you will. And I'm fortunate in that I live out in the country, out in the boondocks, and I've got a lot of natural landscaping. And I run my dog up the mountain every day when I get home from work, and on roads that I built over the years. And I don't run him like Kyle runs all over the place. I run him. I drive my Kubota four-wheeler up there, and he runs and speeds in front of me. So that's our exercise regime every evening when I get.
How do you consider it exercise if you're in a Kubota?
Well, I have to steer. I have to put my foot on the accelerator, and sometimes I have to use the brake.
But you could walk up the hill.
I know I could, but the dog likes to run, and I can't run as fast as the dog, and I want to make sure he's in maximum good health and consequently works out all the energy that he's stored all day, and I can't run at that speed, say. That's my philosophy.
It might be an excuse.
Well, it could be.
Possibly.
Yeah, but when you get as old as I am, you got to have excuses.
Well, and at your age, it's probably easier to run up the hill, but to run down the hill then is a little treacherous.
Well, could be, but I don't run very far up the hill. I got some pretty steep hills. Oh, gosh. So anyway, if you want to create a place like that to hide from the world in your yard, you can. And so where do you start? Well, I suggest calling an expert landscape person that has many years in design with lots of experience and have give you an exchange of ideas on what you can actually do with the space, you know, on size of plants, on do you want a water feature, do you like rock, do you like boulders, do you want a flagstone patio to put your chair on, or, you know, that's all I do now. I do consultations, landscape consultations, and it's a lot of fun to do that. I don't do the actual work anymore. I just give it to the new owners at Wintergreen and say, hey, you call this guy, I gave him a kind of a price, call this guy and put him on the schedule. And that's easy. Walking around with a client in their yard, asking them questions and saying, and they'll point out problem areas and say, well, I don't know what to do with this, that this is what happens to it. It gets way too wet in the winter and it's soggy, and how do I create a drainage system? Well, it might be a perfect place to dig out and build a pond or something along those lines, or just fill the area with rock and raise beds and let the water have a place to drain off to. But the person that has the experience can give you a lot of ideas. And I'm still doing those types of consultations and design work. I'm not getting a whole lot of calls, but that's okay. I don't need a whole lot of calls. But I was up in Glide yesterday doing that with a couple, and they would show me an area, and I'd say, well, these are some possibilities, and this and this and this, and that all transformed into kind of a mini design thing. And I ask a lot of questions. Do you like this? Do you like color? Do you like evergreen? Do you like deciduous? You know sizes. Shapes, do you need some shade? Do you need some sun? You know, there's so many aspects of landscape design to that you have to be aware of and fit into a proposal like that. And if you have a lot of experience, which I have had for 50 years, it's good. It works because I've seen so many landscaped areas and non-landscaped areas over the years that you know what works and you know what doesn't. And most folks just want a nice, neat, easy to maintain, clean landscape. I mean, that's kind of the bottom line right there. And then you go from there. And it's an exchange of ideas on the sizes of the plants. They want to start out small, large. They want blooming. They want evergreen. They don't care about evergreen if it drops its leaves. For instance, if they like Japanese maples, there's only about, several hundred varieties to choose from. Not here in Roseburg, but that's the book on Japanese maples lists them all and shows pictures of them. So, and at the nursery, we used to carry about 25 varieties, you know, from very, very dwarfed, very, very tall. And, you can mix them up and make them look like a very unique forest in one corner of your yard. They're tougher than nails. They like the sun for the most part. And all you really have to be aware of is good drainage, good soil, and they're good to go. When after a year in the ground or 2 years in the ground, you don't even have to do anything unless you want to drag a hose over and water them. I mean, don't need a lot of water.
Wouldn't there be one more thing to remember?
What's that?
Commercial breaks.
Oh, I'm sorry. I overshot my time. We'll be back.
All right, 4:23, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show, 673-4464 from News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio KQEN.
I have no idea what I just did, but I apparently hit two buttons at once. So.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And that I didn't hit that button.
Yeah, you're pretty swift.
We haven't done this in 6 months, so you know.
Oh, I haven't ever done it, so you're way ahead of me, partner.
Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show. He is back, unretiring from retirement, at least for an hour a week on the radio.
Yeah, and I think that's a full meal deal for me at this point in time. So I'm talking about building a landscape or in a corner of your yard or even in your whole yard if you're that ambitious, that says, hey, when I'm sitting down here, do not disturb. Leave me alone. This is my meditation spot. This is a place where I shed all the problems that I've had today at work or wherever, and I just want to relax and enjoy it. So, you know, all of us need a little spot like that in our busy lives. Even if you're in an apartment, you can create something on your deck or somewhere that you can do that with. But even, like a short 20 minutes is going to do wonders for your attitude. It's a place to hide from the world. That's what you want to build. That's what you want to have. And so you say, well, where do I start?
You start with taking a phone call. Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show, you're on the radio.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, my gosh, you're back.
I'm back.
You were my favorite. Oh, my gosh, I could not believe it. And I got so excited, I dialed 672-4464. Nobody answered.
Can I help you?
Well, I got this lawn that's growing in hard clay.
Uh-huh.
It's a pretty good lawn, but I thought about putting a few inches layer of topsoil over the grass and hoping it'd go, you know, grow through it. Is that a good idea or no?
No, no. Explain that one more time. I'm not quite visualizing that.
My lawn is grown in that hard clay.
I got that part.
Okay. Okay. I was thinking about putting a top layer of soil.
Uh-huh.
Topsoil on it.
Why?
Just covering the grass and hoping for it to grow through. Well, so I have a better...
Is the lawn doing okay now?
It is.
Well, there's no point in putting a layer of topsoil in there. I'll tell you what, it would be better if you wanted to put something in. First, you should aerate the lawn. You know how to aerate the lawn?
Go rent one of those
Bugger. Yeah, aerator. Okay. Aerator. And what that does, you got hard, like you say you got hard clay. Okay, well, that aerator will pull plugs of clay, soil plugs out, and you go over, it's like running a rototiller or a lawnmower, and it's self-propelled and pulls all the plugs out. You rake all the plugs off, and then you can lightly sand the lawn and let the sand fill the plugs. And what that does, it aerates the root systems and it improves your drainage. And then when you've done with the sand, go ahead and fertilize it with a top grade lawn food, and you know, go back to your normal watering, and you'll see a great improvement in that lawn. It will get greener and grow faster and be more healthy.
Oh, great. That's perfect. I will follow those instructions.
Good, and call me back
anyway,
after you've done it.
I will. Okay. I can't believe you're back. I listen to you every time I get off work, and awesome.
Well,
thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. I appreciate that.
Okay. Have a good day.
Bye-bye. All right, and you can call it as well, 673-4464. That's 673-4464.
Yeah, and you know, that gentleman had a good idea about his lawn, but if you aerate it, because clay is heavy, and in the wintertime there's minimal drainage. It takes a long time. It gets soggy. That's where you can get disease and waterlogged lawns that aren't draining well, and consequently come up with bad spots in the following spring. But if you aerate it and pull those plugs of clay out of there, and like I say, put a light coating of sand, kind of spread it, and it will fill those holes, and it'll give you better drainage and better aeration. And then when you do fertilize the lawn, that fertilizer can get down into the root system more quickly and easily, and consequently your net result is a better looking lawn, a healthier lawn, and one that you don't have to baby once it's going and established. So those are just kind of the ABCs in the 1, 2, 3. But I was talking about, in the earlier segment, about creating a little special place for you to, you can call it a meditation garden, or just a place to get away from everything else.
Or a place to answer the phone. You are on the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show.
Hello.
Hi.
How can I help you?
Well, if I wanted to send a release to you guys that might be of interest to you in terms of news, how would I do that? I'm on your website and I can't figure it out.
Well, you just email KQEN at bciradio.com.
KQEN at bciradio.com.
Perfect.
Perfect. Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. I don't think he was actually calling for this show, but there he is anyway.
Well, we thank you for your call, sir, no matter what the subject might be. So going on with your small garden here, so where do I start? How do I do this, Well, you can. I suggest you can call an expert landscape person with lots of experience and have an exchange of ideas of size, plants, water, rock, topography, the pluses, the minuses. You tell that landscape consultant, you know, I like this, this, and this, and he or she may say, well, those two, the first two items that you mentioned won't fit here because they'll get too big and there'll be too much maintenance for you in the long run, but you can substitute A, B, or C and still have a nice effect and maybe even a better effect of what you want to do in the long term. So that's, you know, when somebody like I spent 50 years in this business growing nursery stock and landscape design and landscape installation and maintenance and all that. So I have a pretty good background on how to get it all done. I've made my share of mistakes early on in my career, that's for sure. But I learned from them and did not repeat them, and consequently looking for new ideas and new ways and better ways to install landscapes or to consult with folks on their landscape or design their landscape. So you need to have that exchange with someone, and they can give you plenty of ideas on, like I say, size of plants, see what you have there, the type of water that they need, do you need a sprinkler system or not, maybe a decorative water feature with a waterfall or several waterfalls, say some rocks. When I say rock, you can have, I'm talking about boulders that you can go out and find them, but they're pretty, the type I'm referring to are pretty heavy. So you might want to call one of the sand and gravel companies and say, hey, what do you got in stock and how much are they and could you deliver them? And I've done that on hundreds of occasions, and or go to a place like Willamette Greystone and look what they have, and they have some very beautiful material, different colored rock, different sized rock, and you know, you can, like I say, be creative and keep your mind open as to, hey, how can I make this fit or how can I make this look better? But all this can start very small, in a very small spot, with room to grow for the future and your enjoyment later on. And ask yourself, you know, is it a shady area or part shade? That's best. Full sun is a harder landscape in a small area to maintain. And if you're going to pull out your chair or your whatever and sit there and watch your waterfall in a hot summer day, you want some shade. You want some shade about 3 o'clock. So I suggest that one part of your landscape should be a shade tree of one type or another, something that grows on the west side so that it will protect you and make it a lot cooler. And an area, you know, if you're just starting out, like maybe an area about the size of, let's say, 10 feet by 10 feet is a good start. It's not hard. It's not mind-blowing. It's like, whoa, I can do this. It's only 10 feet this way and 10 feet that way. As you and leave room to expand, because you can also expand that as if you have, once you have success in your first go-around and you see how things are going and you've learned from any of your mistakes that you might have made, then go ahead and begin to expand your home landscape. And start with a few plants. Do not overplant. You know, if you think it needs seven plants, go with three, and space them far apart. And if you think there's too much space, put a boulder in between or something like that. But don't try to fill it up with plants, because you'll lose sight of what you're trying to achieve and create a maintenance nightmare in the long term. And like I say, in time, plants can be added if you so desire. And you might be walking through one of the box stores or a nursery or something like that and see something that you'd never seen before and go, wow, I'd like that. Ask the nursery person, how big does this grow? What color does it bloom? If it's a bloomer, you know, all those kinds of things. And it may fit into your meditation garden, if you will. So, you know, it's up to you, but you don't want to buy anything. You don't want to get anything that's going to grow to a humongous size that you have to prune all the time, unless maybe it's a Japanese maple or maybe a dwarf pine of some sort that you can prune and shape into a windswept-looking creature further down the road, which I have done to a lot of them in my political career. Yeah, in my landscape career. plant
That's plant why
career.
He is the commissioner of dirt.
Way back when. Yeah, but, you know, I can, like, if I'm there, I can give you a short list, and you can always add more.
All right, back with more in a moment. 437, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
He is back on the radio every week, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. By the way, you were talking about setting up your plants and keeping in mind maybe looking at a water feature, things like that.
Uh-huh.
You know, since you have been off the radio for a few months, I actually have a water feature now.
Yeah.
I know. I have it at my house.
Good.
I have a water feature.
Where is it?
It is
front yard or backyard?
It's in the backyard.
Okay.
It is a bird bath. Does that count?
Yeah, that's kind of approaching what I'm talking about.
Except that I don't regularly remember to put water in it.
And the birds don't like it.
And then a lot of leaves get on it if it's, because it's over in the, let's see, if you're looking in the backyard, it's over in the right corner.
Where all the trees are and all
the
leaves
drop. Well, there's a lot of trees there.
There's a lot of shade there.
So maybe it's not a water feature.
You know, bird baths are fine, but they're too shallow. The birds want something with some depth to it. If they'd make some bird baths with, 6-8 inches of water in there.
What do you want, like a bird hot tub? Or?
Yeah, well, a cool tub, and they would enjoy it much more.
All right.
And even the crows would come in.
Mike Wonder's Lawn and Garden Show, you're on the radio. What's your question?
I didn't have a question. I just wanted to tell him I'm glad he's back.
Thank you.
Retirement wasn't doing it for you, was it?
No, it wasn't. And, when you go to 100 miles an hour all the time, and then all of a sudden you're doing 6 miles an hour, you're going, what in the world should I do now?
I'll have more questions for you in the future, but right now I just wanted to say glad you're back.
Thank you. I appreciate the phone call.
You bet.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, thank you for calling in. 673-4464 is our number here at the Lawn and Garden Show.
Yeah, and if you have a question, any kind of a question regarding your lawn, your shrubs, your trees, your sprinklers, your sidewalks, retaining walls, you think about it. And if you have a question, give me a call, and I can probably answer it for you.
Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, what's your question?
Well, I just wanted to welcome Mike back as well. And we have... Mike, it's good to have you back. As your last caller just said, I spoke with you before you retired. We talked about air layering. And since that time, I've air layered a couple orange trees, and I did a grapefruit. And right now I'm trying a redwood and an avocado. You need to check that out sometime yourself. It's an interesting procedure for propagating plants.
Okay.
So, yeah. So anyhow, I just wanted to say, hey, glad to have you back. I was kind of bummed when you were signed off a couple of months ago, and when I heard you were coming back, I too was like, thumbs up. Hey, he's back.
Okay.
I think a lot of people in the community enjoy hearing you.
Well, thank you very much. I do appreciate your listening and your call to me today.
Yeah. Well, you have the gardening wisdom that we all learn from. So, anyhow, welcome back. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good to have you back.
Thank
All right, 673-4464, if you want to call in this afternoon.
Yeah, and, you can actually ask me a question about landscaping or gardening or something like that, and I can actually answer it, too. But I do appreciate the calls that people said, hey, they're glad I'm back. So it's fun. I enjoy it, and it forces me to sit and think through some ideas every week to what can I bring to the show that would make a difference in somebody's landscape or give some new ideas of some new plants or new ways of landscaping. I've got quite an extensive library about plants and landscaping and those kinds of things, and I'm always trying to learn something new, and it's amazing how much I don't know after 50 years of doing this. But there's a lot to know out there, and there's a lot of different plants and styles of landscaping, and it's an amazing thing. You can keep busy forever doing this stuff. So thanks again, everybody. But getting back to the small little garden that you want, a meditative area or meditation garden or whatever you want to call it, you know, as I think I said it earlier, try to get a shady spot or something that's part shade, and that would be best. Full sun is too hot. If you're going to sit out there and try to enjoy it and sitting in the full sun, you may only do it from 8 o'clock at night to 6 in the morning or something like that when it's nice and cool. But get something with some shade. Get some. You know, you might have to build a little bit of shade with a little bit of lath or shade cloth for a while. And as your trees or your shrubs or whatever you have in the area grow up to where they can produce a little coolness for you. And like I say, an area, you know, 10 by 10, that's a good start. It doesn't sound like much, but it's a good start for a tiny garden. And it doesn't take a whole lot of time, and it won't take a whole lot of plants or care for those plants to turn it into something that's very unique. It's the only thing you lack is your imagination. You use your imagination. You can borrow ideas from places that you see. You go, wow, that's a good-looking landscape. I like that. That would look really good. Well, take that, even if it's in a large landscape area, take that and just miniaturize it and put it in your yard, put it in your front yard, put it in your backyard. It doesn't matter. And rather than just all green grass that you got to mow every week, which is fine. You've got kids or grandkids or something like that. This is a good place for them to play and roughhouse and play football and all that kind of stuff. But when they grow up, they're not doing that. So, you need a spot. You need a spot to where it's quiet. You need a spot where you can just read a book or take a nap or just enjoy the sound of the water coming over your waterfall. It's very therapeutic. If more people slow down in their lives, of their everyday life, going 100 miles an hour in 15 different directions, they'd try something like this and be amazed at how much better they feel and how much more their attitude improves over things surrounding them. So at any rate, like I said, don't overplant. So what kind of plants? Well, let's see. There's there's thousands of plants, but you can, you know, I'll give you a little short list here, and you can always add more. But, you know, one of the tree thing, you know, trees, you got to be careful when you're choosing trees for your area. But Japanese maples of some sort, I think, has to be one of the features because of the uniqueness and the style of the tree. They come in deep red, weeping varieties. They come in upright green and yellow and even variegated leaf varieties with multiple stems and multiple trunks. They're very unique trees. And we have, you know, quite a few nurseries around here in the area and even into Sutherland and Canyonville and Myrtle Creek where you can go shopping for a Japanese maple and see what's available out there and ask questions. If you find one you like, ask questions about it or do some research about it. You know, like, will it get 30 feet tall or 12 feet tall? Well, if you're doing your little miniature garden, a 12 footer would be more than sufficient. It would be, you know, good. What kind of leaf do you want? Do you want a wide leaf variety, or do you want a thin green leaf variety, or something in between? There are variegated leaf varieties that have kind of a light green background with deep green spots in the leaves. I mean, they're very attractive. I've got a book on Japanese maples. There's, I think, 150 varieties of different Japanese maples in there, and the pictures of them, and they're quite unique. Not all of them will grow in Roseburg. Some of them are a little more tender, but for the most part, they're tough trees. Takes a lot to kill a Japanese maple, like a lot of water. You keep watering it, and you rot the roots, it'll die. But the busy life that we have, you know, from early morning until night, you know, you need a quiet place just to think, like I say, meditate and just kind of get away from it. But if you want to build something that's going to help you out in the long term, and maybe if you have children or grandchildren or whatever, you can start an educational process of you know what this is and what this does and all that. But Japanese maples has to be part of the feature. There, like I say, there are dwarf varieties. There's 150 varieties to choose from, at least that I know of. And one upright variety is a good starter for a center centerpiece, or you can get the weeping variety that only gets 5-6 feet at maturity, but it'll get 7 or 8 feet wide if you let it. But you can prune it, you can thin it, you can shorten it up, and they come in multiple colors, multiple shades of red, multiple shades of green.
So which type do I have?
Where?
At my house.
I don't know. Backyard, front yard?
No, the Japanese maple.
Oh, the one up by the driveway.
Right.
Oh, you've got a... It's the red variety. It's the... it might be called crimson something or other. There are probably 30 varieties of that color, and I'd have to take another look at it.
But it's pretty good size.
Oh, yeah. And how many times did I prune it over the years?
Not enough, probably.
Probably not enough, because I didn't want to scare you and I didn't want you to sue me. But, to get it back off the driveway. See, it's pretty close to the driveway, pretty close to the sidewalk. And so you want to prune it and still keep the ambiance, if you will, of the tree. And don't prune it so hard that you wreck that. You still want the, because it's kind of gnarled and bendy. It doesn't have straight branches and it weeps. And is it still looking good?
I think so. Well,
I see it every day.
I work a lot. I don't know.
I know, but you do go home in the daylight, don't you?
Sometimes.
Well, do me a favor. Look at it tonight.
All right.
When you get home.
We'll take a look. Back with more in a moment. Mike Waters, Lawn and Garden Show, 673-4464 with the Commissioner of Dirt on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
The afternoon report coming up just a few minutes at 5, 75 degrees right now with another 6.5 minutes of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show.
And I was about to get into the plant varieties that would help you in your small meditation garden or whatever you want to call it, but... you could add Japanese maple is a very fine dwarf tree that you can use. But then there's a few dwarf evergreens like dwarf mugo pine, dwarf nandina for color, or even some small ground cover types like scotch or Irish moss, just to kind of give it a brightness. But if you go nursery shopping, look at the plants that are not going to be rambunctious and grow out too fast, too quick, and be too ugly and ruin the whole scope of the thing. Go with dwarf varieties. And at first it might say, well, that's not enough. It will be in time. And the dwarf varieties, for I don't know why, they seem to be tougher than regular stuff. Maybe it's in their genetic code. but if you start, say, with those three, the dwarf mugo pines or nandina, those kinds of things, or Irish moss, that you can always add more. It's just don't overdo it all at once. Don't overplant and create a maintenance nightmare. Give them lots of space. And like I say, it may take a year or two before adding more plants, because this one particular dwarf pine, mugo pine or whatever, might only grow 3 or 4 inches in a year. Okay, that's good. That's all you want. And you don't want it to get any larger than that. But you still have some space. You can plant a smaller plant in the vicinity of it, not right up next to it, but within 3 or 4 feet, and as a base plant, and it looks good. What you're going to do is educate yourself about, hey, what's available out there? How can I add this to my small garden? What's its rate of growth? What about the care? And one thing about these slow-growing evergreens, things like that, there's not a lot of maintenance involved. They're just tough. You plant them, you take care of them a little bit the first year and very little the second year, and the third year you just kind of ignore them, and they do well. Hey, they just do. They grow not because of you, but in spite of you, and they're good things to do. But always go to a place. You know, the box store's got a lot of plants, but oftentimes they don't have a lot of people that know a lot about those plants that they're growing. So go to a real nursery that, you know, the Plant Warehouser, for instance, up here off of whatever street that
Stewart
is.
Stewart Parkway.
Stewart Parkway. I knew there was a name. Good people up there, and they're knowledgeable, and they've got a whole host to choose from. And tell them I sent you, and they'll help you out all you need. And anyway, like I say, it may take a year or two before you need to add any more plants, but the goal is a small, private garden that needs minimal care. That's what you want. And your water feature can be as small as a bird bath, like Kyle's is in his backyard, or a fountain with streams and waterfalls. They're nice, but they require some experience in building and some experience and expertise in, you know, what's the best bet and how you want it to make water sounds and splashes. You know, there's pump sizes to consider and all that. So you need to speak to someone who knows what they're doing and has experience in building those things. And then you're going to, when you get it all said and done, this is going to be your favorite private place to relax and forget the world and have a quiet time with your wife or girlfriend or whatever. And it's a good thing. Now, we've built a landscape garden at the nursery as an example to our potential clients over the years. And it featured a large waterfall and a pond. When people needed more ideas for landscaping their yards, we would give them a tour, answer their questions, tell them what plants were what and how they grew and how they were used and why we used them, and show them the sprinkler system and how that worked. And they could see, they could stand back and say, yeah, hey, I understand now. I see what you do. I see what the spacing is. I see the size of the heads. You know, it's a quick study and hey, these are the basic fundamentals that you need to have. Don't try to deviate too much from it, because this is the tough stuff. This is the stuff that works, and the types of heads and coverage and all those kind of things. And there's mistakes people make when they just kind of shoot from the hip and do it themselves. So how much time we got left here?
About a minute.
Anyway, I appreciate the calls that the people have made, and saying that I was glad I'm back, and I enjoy it, and it forces me to do more research. And even though I've done it for all these years, I'm always learning something new. Not a week goes by when I don't learn more about a particular plant, or find something new that I've never seen before, and do some research on that and plant one at my house just to see how it's going to work. So hang in there. I hope you continue to listen, and I hope I can bring you good information that you can learn from and use in your yard and landscape.
And I was very impressed that you walked all the way here today.
Yeah, right. On one leg.
Or at least you walked from the back parking lot.
I park way back there.
All right.
Yeah.
Back next Wednesday. Well, welcome back.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Mike Witter's Lawn and Garden Show back next Wednesday. We'll have the podcast up shortly at 541radio.com. The afternoon report coming up from News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.